saw my baby then. She was stretched out on that long white table, so young, so sweet, so fair. Well, let her go, God bless her. Well, wherever her soul may be, she could have searched this whole world over.
Okay, so before we get started today, I wanted to remind our faithful friends and listeners and family, because I think we have family listening too, that we are going to be going on summer hiatus after this. So fun in the sun for us. I have to go to Boulder for my master's program. I'm sure that Mimi has other shit that...
I have to paint. Paint.
Paint. Yes. So, yeah, she's got other stuff to do, too. So we're going to be taking a little bit of a break. I don't know when exactly we're coming back yet. I feel like it'll probably be September.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that and figure out when is best.
Yeah.
Because you probably will have classes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of forget about those.
Yeah, so we'll go back to you know, the regular Thursday recording and Sunday Monday release then too, because this time works out a whole lot better than other than that. I also wanted to remind everybody to hop on over to iTunes. Kindly go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. If you like what we're doing, you know, let us know. If there's anything that you would like to hear about, if there are any urban legends that you want me to cover, if there are any particular hauntings in New Orleans that you want Mimi to tackle, any cryptids that you want us to try to hunt down and in Wisconsin, just let us know. We want to know. We want to hear from you. So give us a heads up. Let's see. I actually think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. The window for Corvus is closing tonight at midnight. I'm recording this on the 31st, so that means that it closes tonight. And then we'll get working on the new issue. That'll take about a month, and then we'll release that. Notice how the hiatus corresponds to not only my going to Boulder, but my releasing the Lit Journal. I couldn't have planned it any better. I couldn't have.
Good.
Yeah. So what's new with you?
Oh, it's just been a whirlwind of a couple weeks. Just
busy. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. We had Memorial Day chow over to the wife's parents' house, and that was pretty much all we did for Memorial Day. We didn't really do anything specific, but yeah.
Saturday we went to a party at a friend's house. And then we just kind of stayed home on Sunday and laid low and stayed home on Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, so didn't do much.
So you had kind of a low-key weekend too?
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit that I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to take off the screen door and scrape it and sand it and paint it, and I wanted to clean out the the window wells around the house. I wanted to do that. I also wanted to go and get some plants or something, because this is the weekend where you do that, and we've been wanting to get some honeysuckle for a little while now because we have one. But we wanted to get like two or three more because we wanted to kind of spread out. In the front of the house, we have like three trellises. And the honeysuckle is on the center trellis, but they don't really spread out on the sides. They go up.
Oh, okay.
So it's hard to get them to cover that. So I was like, well, whatever. We'll just go and buy. We'll buy another one or another two or whatever. So we wound up getting four, and we gave one to our neighbor. Well, she's been talking about us splitting the one that we have, but I don't know how to do that, and I'm afraid to do that, because it's just like a big root ball. Like, it's not, And I'm afraid if you split it, then you're going to damage it. So we picked her up one, too. They were on sale at Stein for like $8.
Okay.
In a 1 gallon pot. So it was a pretty good deal.
I'm not sure about this, but I think you can split bulbs and then you put them in water for a while so that the roots start growing and then you can put them back in. But yeah, I'm not this positive.
This is like a huge like root ball, though.
Oh, okay.
Like then not a bulb.
Okay.
Like it's just, it's like a tree, mm-hmm. essentially. And I don't know that you can split a tree like that either. Because yeah. It's a tree. It's right. like a singular being. Right. I don't know if maybe you could cut off like pieces of it and then you could like get rooting compound or whatever and like get it to root that way. I don't know.
I don't know either.
So she was bugging us about it for like 2 years and finally I was like, you know what, they're on sale. Fuck it. We'll
Mother's
grab an extra
Day
one.
Weekend I got flowers.
Oh nice.
And mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the way they're looking.
Oh.
I'm watering them.
You got like actual plants.
Yeah. And I you know, I took them and I put them in pots.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. They're just not looking great this year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so whatever.
Well.
I don't have a green thumb.
Well, you know, my thumb in general is rather yellow. And not so much brown, but it's a pale green. I get by. But generally with stuff that's easy to grow, you know, like beginner stuff,
mm-hmm.
like the honeysuckle, that you can't kill that shit. Like, it just keeps coming back. Keeps coming back.
Does it spread out?
It doesn't go out, which is why we had to get...
So it doesn't grow out?
No. Okay. It goes up. So we planted it right by the archway so that it'll grow up the archway.
Okay.
So hopefully... he's probably going to choke out that clematis, which is unfortunate, but we might move the clematis. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Hmm.
I'm not the boss on the clematis. I have to wait for the one who wears the pants in the family to tell me
what
we're
going to
do.
It.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So I guess this is Haunt Heads. The podcast that goes bump in the night, and I'm your host, Janine Mercer, and I am joined here by
Mimi Steven.
The lovely Mimi Steven. Got some pretty interesting stuff for you today. I kind of went the direction of, I'm going to say potential urban legend, but I'm pretty sure that it falls into urban legend territory well below the line. So, I'm not sure. We'll we'll have to see. It's really funny because the more that I Googled it, the more of a black hole I went into. And it was like, there was no, like, you know how you just randomly Google something and then you click on something else because it's related. And then you click on something else because it's related. And you started at 5 p.m. and now it's like 3 in the morning and you're like, shit, what what was I even looking for in the first place?
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with this. So, yeah, I did Edward Mordrake. And I kind of paralleled that story with the story of Chang Zuping, a gentleman from a rural village in China. So yeah, that's what I got. What do you
have? Well, I did something different today. Oh. I'm just telling stories from truckers.
Stories from truckers.
Actually, there's a book I want to get by Amy something or other, which of course I can't remember her last name, but it looks really interesting, my kind of thing.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'll have to get that book. So yeah, cool. I just kind of Googled trucker stories.
Oh, so they're like
so
all creepy
they're just
trucker
stories? Things that happen to people that they're telling about, and I thought they were kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. So. I mean, truckers see a lot of probably crazy shit. I mean, you know, like, take haunted shit out of that pile and put it aside, and you probably still have a pretty good bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Of stories
there
to tell.
There were a lot of neat stories.
Yeah. Yeah. So, who wants to go first?
Well, I think it's my turn. You went first last time.
Oh, that's right. All right.
Yeah. So, all righty. So, Tales of the Open Road, trucker stories. We pass by them on highways. Sometimes we get cut off by them. Sometimes we cut them off. Here are a few tales of haunts and creepiness from the road.
Very dangerous, by the way. Do not cut off. The driving instructor in me is like, do not cut off a trucker.
That's right.
Because they need the length of two football fields to stop. And they're often carrying in excess of 60 to 80,000 pounds.
Yep.
That's a lot of weight behind them. They're not going to stop. You're going to turn into a pancake. Anyway, continue.
So, this first story is from a trucker driving in Detroit, Michigan. Mm. The time period was the late 1980s. There was lots of construction taking place in this part of the highway, and it was about 2 in the morning when the trucker saw an elderly, larger woman wearing a raincoat standing behind her car, waving her hands up and down. Unfortunately, being that the roads were slick with rain and with all the construction, the trucker was unable to stop right away. But he went to the next exit, he got off, turned around, went back to the car, and a young man came back to the trucker, and the trucker told him to get all his companions and get in the truck, and he would take him to a gas station. Mm. The young man brought his wife to the truck, and they got in and closed the door. The trucker asked, "Is that it? Isn't there somewhere else? Where's the elderly lady?" The young couple had no idea what the trucker was talking about. So the trucker told them his story about the elderly lady. The young woman started crying and said that he had described her grandmother perfectly.
Oh.
And she died a year before this incident. So grandma was out there watching her. Little angel on her shoulder.
Huh. Very interesting.
All right. Next one. Place. Jensen Road, Fresno, California, about 3 a.m. A trucker and his partner were driving westbound on Jensen Road and just slowed to 40 miles per hour. When out of nowhere, an extremely tall, about 6'7" or 7 foot tall man, dressed all in black, in a black trench coat with a black sombrero, was standing on the white line of a two-way highway. Oh. The truck missed the man just mere inches from the mirror. The trucker and his partner said, "Did you see that? What the fuck was that?" They turned around. He was gone. Huh. The skin was crawling, and they were totally freaked out.
Yeah.
Now, a trucker was driving west on I-40 near Holbrook, Arizona at about 3 a.m. during winter and driving at about 70 miles per hour. All of a sudden, he heard knock, 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 very loudly on the side of his sleeper car. The radio was off, and he was alone. To himself, he thought, "Keep driving, just keep going." When he reached Holbrook, he stopped for a break. The next morning, he got out of his truck and looked around, and he decided there was just no way anyone could have been standing on the catwalk knocking. He logged this as unexplained. But it totally freaked him out because he wouldn't get out when he stopped for the night. He wouldn't get out and look.
Wow.
A man and his friend were driving to work at about 3:30 in the morning on a back road of Mississippi near the Louisiana state line. The road was a windy, no-line road, and it happened to be raining out. He was driving at about 35 miles per hour due to the conditions. All of a sudden, out of the darkness, a coal black horse carrying a rider wearing a long black trench coat with a hood comes darting out of the woods, running at top speeds on a trail next to the road. After about a quarter mile, the horse and rider just disappeared. The driver and passenger looked at each other and said, "Did you fucking see that?"
Makes you wonder exactly how tired these people are.
Yep. Two friends are driving one night about 2 in the morning, getting a pattern. It's all around 3 in the morning. Two friends were driving one night about 2 in the morning when they heard a grinding noise. It felt like they had run over something and it got stuck and they were dragging it. They pulled into a rest stop and got out to look and heard a child crying. They were concerned because no other cars were around and they decided to follow the noise, which led to the bathrooms. The noise appeared to be coming from the women's room. It sounded like a low, dull sobbing. Like that.
Oh.
They were expecting to see something horrible when they walked in.
Right.
What they found was nothing. They checked the stalls, nothing. They checked the trash can, nothing. They looked for cameras or a speaker, thinking, maybe we're on candy camera. What the fuck? Nothing. The friend climbed up the stall to reach the top window. He closed it, the noise stopped. He opened it again. Still no noise. All of a sudden, the window snapped shut. Boom. They ran out of their fucking room so fast. And that was a quote. As they were running back to the car, the noise started up again. They drove away with a grinding noise, still grinding. A little while later, they stopped at a rest stop and looked under the car. There was a small piece of red and silver metal stuck underneath. The metal was two steps removed, so he went to his mechanic, who pulled out a piece of a tricycle. Yes. The part where you can stand behind it.
Yeah.
You know, that little shelf?
Yeah.
And the driver said it was fucked up and crazy.
Huh.
So, that one was sad. That was kind of like, okay, maybe they hit something, yeah, right? You know?
Well, like, they checked the trash. Okay, so that's the one thing that I don't understand. Like, you think that somebody is in the trash can crying, so you're going to check the trash can? I mean, I guess so.
Well, but if there's nothing there and you can't find anything, you're going to look in the garbage.
I guess.
I mean, because maybe there's a voice recorder or something in there.
Yeah, it could be.
But I guess there was no candy camera for them.
Yeah, right. Have you ever seen I forget what it is. I don't know if it's like a candid camera thing or what, or like a joke thing. But there's an elevator, and all the people get into the elevator, and there's like a secret panel. And there's a little girl in there that looks like the chick from The Ring.
Yes.
Oh, I love God, watching it's so those. Awesome. I love that one. Every time the fucking lights go out and they come back on again and the person is just standing there waiting for the elevator door to open and Mrs. McCreepy is in the back corner. It's like, oh, fucking awesome. Or Spider Dog, where they put the spider costume on the dog.
I think that is so cool.
And they just let him loose in like a car park or something. Oh, man. So funny.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So a truck driver was driving home and very anxious to get there. He had been on the road for 2 weeks. He decided to take a shortcut through a very out-of-the-way area that was known for some of its ghost stories. Again, it was about 3:40 in the morning, and as he is driving, the landscape begins to change. The shrubs are getting thicker. The sky is getting darker. The trees are getting more craggly. Then the radio goes to loud static.
Oh.
The driver begins to get very cold, and he began to have a tingling feeling through his body. All of a sudden, he sees a man hanging from a tree by the side of the road, swinging side to side. The trucker slammed on the brakes, grabbed his flashlight, gun, and coat, and began dialing 911. There was no signal.
Nice.
He reached the tree the man was hanging from, and the man was gone. Nothing on the ground, nothing in the branches, just gone. The trucker got back in his truck, looked back, and there was the hanging man. So the next time you see a trucker, ask him for some good stories. So that was my thing, just stories.
That's pretty fantastic.
I really want to get that book, though.
Yeah, you can't remember what it's called, huh?
No, but I was reading about the author, and she spent a lot of time talking to different truck drivers. And I guess her dad had a friend who was a truck driver, and he told her a really scary story when she was just a little girl. And ever since then, she was fascinated with truck drivers and their stories.
Cool.
So I can easily Google it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recently started listening to I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. It's about the Golden State Killer that they actually just caught.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the go since like the 70s. So
they did catch him.
Kudos to those officers that actually finally pinned him down.
Good. How old is he?
Oh God, he's like in his 70s, I think. The first time that he went to court, he appeared in a wheelchair, and one of the lead investigators was like, "That wheelchair is complete bullshit. Like, I don't know why he's doing. You know, he's trying to get sympathy or something, mm-hmm. but." After all the terrible things that he's done to so many people, I mean, if he spends the rest of his life in prison, that'll be very small punishment for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that'll probably be only, like, maybe 20 years. Maybe not.
They should remove his fingernails.
Right?
Cut off a finger.
Something. I kind of wish that they still did beheadings.
There you go.
Because I feel like it would be a deterrent, you know? Or, like we were talking about, the last time, gibbeting.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they still did something like gibbeting for, like, these heinous crimes, you know?
How about putting rats in a cell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lock them in there with a bunch of rats. Up. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a lot of cases, I'm not for the death penalty. Because I feel like there's a lot to be said for innocent until proven guilty. And I think that we're just not to a place yet where we can say this person is 110% guilty. I mean, there are people sitting on death row now who maybe didn't do what it's been said that they did. And they're still going back through, like, rape kits and DNA and, you know, whatever, and they're still retesting everything. And it's like, you know, you got to be sure because it's that person's life. And that's, mm-hmm. that's really the only thing that really freaks me out about it is the fact that it can be wrong. You know, mistakes can be made still. And yeah. if you don't know, then you can't really. But this guy, I think they said that his DNA was matched through one of those, like, send in your DNA to figure out where the fuck you're from websites.
Oh.
And there was no, like, privacy thing on it to prevent them from getting that information. And he didn't send the information in. One of his relatives somewhere along the line. So... I mean, they're pretty sure it's him. Yeah. And he used to be a cop.
Oh.
And, yeah. And he had access to all of this information about... he used to be called the East Area Rapist, or EAR,
uh-huh.
Which is like the lamest... Uh-huh. you know, the ear is out hunting. Yeah, whatever. But Michelle McNamara renamed him the Golden State Killer. So it was really through her efforts and the efforts of, you know, many other very talented people that he is in police custody and they are, you know, trying to press charges. Yeah. So hopefully they got him. Yeah, he was a cop. And there's actually footage too of him sitting at town hall meetings. He like sits right up front. And he's in, like, this yellow shirt. And he looks very engaged, you know. He's just listening to everything that everybody is saying. I think that somebody was saying on one of their podcasts, I feel like it was on the My Favorite Murder podcast, but they were talking about how he even might have selected some of his victims that way. Because they came to the forums that they had at the town hall. And then, you know, he was just like, oh, you look good, or yeah, uh-huh, yeah, we'll do you, or whatever. Yeah, but scary stuff, and this guy is just a creep. You can look into his eyes and just tell he's a creep. If he didn't do all this stuff, he did something. Because
mm-hmm.
he's just, yeah, he's creepy. He's really creepy.
Well, I'm glad they got him.
Yeah, I'm glad they got him, too. Yeah, what else did I want to mention? I wanted to mention, the cover of Milwaukee Magazine this month. It's got a cover, let's see, Stranger Than Fiction, Unsolved Mysteries and Hidden History. And it talks about the Goat Man, the Big Cheese Caper, talks about some mafia stuff, the truth about Haunchyville.
Who stole the cheese?
Who stole the cheese? Who killed Ashley Love? The Strange Disappearance of Flight 2501, Nazis Night Out, ancient underwater pyramids. And then it talks about, it has this cool little section in there called the Mythometer. And it tackles the secret land of little people. Milorganite is human poop. the Milwaukee Lion. Oak Creek's Road to Nowhere. And the Angry Goat Man. So, yeah, very interesting. I passed it on to Mimi now. I've read it, so she's going to have a peruse. But yeah, very, very good issue. So kudos to those guys for putting out a super issue. All right, so I guess I'll get started on mine. I called it the Mordrake Ping Connection.
Okay.
I was kind of like the Rainbow Connection. But then I was like, well, it's a little bit more creepy than the Rainbow Connection. But, you know, whatever. And then I was like typing it up and I was humming the Rainbow Connection. It was funny.
Hum it for me. I don't remember the tune.
What is it? It's like, someday you'll find it, the Rainbow Connection.
Oh, yeah.
The lovers.
The frog guy.
The dreamers and me. Yeah, Kermit.
Yeah, Kermit.
Kermit the Frog. Yes. All right. Edward Mordrake was said to have been a member of one of the noblest families in England, and he was due to inherit quite a large sum of money. He was mild and genteel, a quiet sort with a sensible disposition, a scholar and a musician, and was said to be quite handsome when viewed from the front. However, when Mordrake turned his head, spectators would look upon a most upsetting visage. You see, on the back of Mordrake's head was another face. From thehumanmarvels.com, quote, often it was said that it possessed its own intelligence and was quite malignant in its intentions. It has been said that the eyes would follow spectators and its lips would gibber relentlessly and silently. According to legend, it would smile and sneer as Edward wept over his condition, so it appeared that it almost took joy in it. While no voice was ever audible, Edward swore that he would often be kept awake at night by hateful whispers. It said that Edward begged many doctors to remove the demon head from his skull. It had also been said that Edward lived completely isolated from everyone else. He thought that the best way to carry on his life was to stay away from everyone, and that isolation even included his own family members. So, You might know the tale of Edward Mordrake. The tale basically comes to an end when Edward can no longer take the lot he's been given in life. He procures a poison, and he ingests said poison, and he dies at the age of
23.
Yep. See, you just paired that crap. Isn't that amazing? There is no date of birth, and there's no date of death for Mordrake. There's like no information on him at all.
Okay.
It's just this random picture, which the picture is actually, we'll get to that a little bit later, but that's not actually a picture of him. And the story that they tell, I mean, there are several different versions. Some people say that his head was actually dried and given to a sideshow. And it's like, it has a little tag on it that says, you know, the head of Edward Mordrake, preserved for posterity or something in handwritten script. Yeah. And it's like on a pole or something, on a little base. But yeah. So, the story of Edward Mordrake has been retold many, 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 many times, and has even been featured in the 1896 text Anomalies and Curiosities of Medicine. Many think that the tale is too fantastical to be believed. Medically, many parts of the story don't make sense or are impossible. For example, in some cases, it's said that the demon face was female, and that's a complete impossibility because all parasitic twins are of the same sex. You can't have a set of parasitic twins that one is male and one is female. They have to be the same sex. So,
I never knew that.
Yep. I didn't find too much information on Edward Mordrake, but I sure as hell found a lot of information on, like, parasitic twins and
oh.
The Greek god Janus, who had two heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here is the actual story of Edward Mordrake from Snopes.com. At this point, you should already be realizing that because I'm taking it from Snopes.com, maybe Edward Mordrake was not a thing. There are a lot of people out there that believe that he actually was a living person and lived and died. And died in such a way as taking poison and dying at the age of 23. Mm-hmm. But when you look for somebody and you look for additional information and you keep running into urban myth, urban legend, urban myth, urban legend, you just, mm-hmm. you know, you start to have doubts.
Right.
There be some doubts about this one. Yeah. The following well-known story of Edward Mordrake, though taken from lay sources, is of sufficient notoriety and interest to be mentioned here. One of the weirdest, as well as the most melancholy stories of human deformity is that of Edward Mordrake, said to have been heir to one of the noblest peerages in England. He never claimed the title, however, and committed suicide in his 23rd year. He lived in complete seclusion, refusing visits even of family members of his own family. He was a young man of fine attainments, a profound scholar, a musician of rare ability. His figure was remarkable for its grace, and his face, that is to say his natural face, was that of Antinous. I don't know what. Pretty.
So didn't he just grow his hair long?
He was pretty. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, from now on I'm rocking a mullet. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
I'm a mullet it up.
And then I would have thought they'd be able to cut down there and then just sew it up.
Yeah.
So his ears would be back first.
Well, you know. But he'd still be pretty.
I mean,
if he was that handsome. But upon the back of his head was another face. That of a beautiful girl, lovely as a dream, hideous as the devil. I don't know how you draw those two together, but okay. The female face was a mere mask, occupying only a small portion of the posterior part of the skull, yet exhibiting every sign of intelligence of a malignant sort. However, it would be seen to smile and sneer while Mordrake was weeping. The eyes would follow the movements of the spectator. The lips would gibber without ceasing. No voice was audible. But Mordrake avers that he was kept up the rest, kept from his rest at night, by the hateful whispers of his devil twin, as he called it, which never sleeps, but talks to me forever of such things as they only speak of in hell. No imagination can conceive the dreadful temptations it sets before me. For some unforgiving wickedness of my forefathers, I am knit to this fiend, for a fiend it surely is. I beg and beseech you to crush it out of human semblance, even if I die for it. Such were the words of the hapless Mordrake to Manvers and Treadwell, his physicians. In spite of careful watching, he managed to procure poison, whereof he died, leaving a letter requesting that the demon face might be destroyed before his burial, lest it continues its dreadful whisperings in my grave.
Aww.
At his own request, he was interred in a waste place. I don't know what they mean by that specifically.
Poop.
a big pile of malorganite, which is not human poop, apparently.
A poop shoot.
Bury me in a poop shoot. Without a stone or a legend to mark his grave. Well, we're already breaking the rules because he has a legend. That's for sure. All right.
Poor guy.
Poor Eddie. Little Eddie Mordrake. All right. If you check out the blog on hauntheads.wordpress.com, you'll be able to see pictures that I have posted in relation to this particular story. There's a picture of Mordrake, or the person who is supposed to be Mordrake. It's actually a wax figure. It's not the actual face. A lot of people think that it is the actual face. It's not. It's just made out of wax. Actually, they say that one of the most accurate representations that they could think of for Edward Mordrake was on American Horror Story Freak Show. because he comes in for like two or three episodes or something.
Oh.
And he has the face.
I haven't watched those. Have you watched those?
Yeah, well, I've watched them all. Yeah.
Okay. I have to watch those.
I rarely ever skip one. Although I didn't watch the most recent one about the election. I wasn't.
Okay.
I was like, I don't really want to. So, not only is there a picture of Edward Mordrake on there, supposedly, Edward Mordrake, there is also a photo of Chang Zuping prior to his operation being performed. So, Chang Zuping was a man from a rural village in China, and he was born with two faces. More specifically, Ping suffered from fetus in fetu, a condition that caused a parasitic twin to grow inside of his face. Ping was actually supposed to be a twin, but instead his twin developed inside him within the womb. The end result was a partial mouth and a tongue on the side of his face with several teeth. Black mass kind of in the center of his right cheek. And that was found to be the location of the second twin's would-be brain. So it was actually part of a head. Ping also had a hump on his back, which is likely more remnants of the parasitic twin. So, amazingly enough, Ping lived with this condition for many, many years. He lost a potential wife in an arranged marriage when she saw him on their wedding night.
Oh.
So she was not having it. He isolated himself in the fields of a small village out of shame for his condition. Ping was eventually discovered by a renowned surgeon, and upon meeting with Ping and his family, this surgeon took on his case. So Ping's right ear was permanently disfigured from the removal surgery, but overall his condition is greatly improved. He looks like a completely different person. It's pretty amazing. So although Ping's parasitic twin was not on the back of his head, as is the case with Mordrake, it is possible to be born with such a deformity. I mean, given that this case was so widely publicized and was featured on television on an episode of That's Incredible in 1982, including parts of the actual removal surgery, I can't imagine that Ping's condition was a farce. In fact, Ping is not the only example of a condition called diprosopus. So I kind of looked up some other examples of individuals who have come to have this condition. Lally Singh was born March 10th, 2008, to Sushma and Vinod Singh in Saini Sunpura Sohanpur village near Delhi. The birth was delayed by dystocia caused by her large head. And her birth in the hospital was facilitated by her mother receiving an episiotomy. She was one of very few infants with this particular condition to survive well past birth. She might have been the only known living individual to have complete facial duplication. Her facial features included two pairs of eyes, two noses, two mouths, but only one pair of ears. She was seen as the reincarnation of the goddess Durga, who is sometimes depicted with many limbs and eyes. Sushma and Vinod Singh declined an offer from local doctors to evaluate their daughter through CT or MRI scanning. And without the diagnostic imaging, it was not possible to know the full extent to which the child's condition may have affected her brain and other vital structures in her head and neck. Thus, any estimation of her ability to thrive or even survive could be only speculated. Her family described her as functioning normally throughout the time that she was living. It is also unknown whether neurosurgeons or craniofacial surgeons, if consulted, would have had feasible solutions to offer with respect to corrective surgery. A local doctor told reporters that the baby should be considered a healthy child who currently was living a normal life, a previously unknown occurrence among sufferers of the disorder. Lally's two middle eyes suffered from corneal opacity due to abnormal anatomy of the facial muscles, which prevented her from properly closing her eyes. before, I guess it was strong. It was wrongly blamed on camera flashes. People were taking lots of pictures of her, and they were like, "Well, she went blind." No. A cleft palate caused difficulty feeding her under village conditions. A poor diet of a bottle-fed sugar solution and diluted milk was allowed to drip down her throat, as she couldn't suck properly because of a cleft palate, weakened her condition. Vomiting and infection started. Admission to the hospital was delayed by discussion, including taking her back home from the hospital, among her extended family and her village's headman. Finally, her parents, alarmed at her illness and dehydration, defied the other relatives and took her back to the hospital, where, under proper medical treatment, including antibiotics and a saline drip, she started to improve. She stopped vomiting. She started drinking milk and defecating normally, but 6 hours later, at 2 months old, to the day, she died of a heart attack.
Aww.
She was buried in her village, as is usual in Hinduism with children who die very young, and later a temple was built at the village in her memory. In the case of Faith Daisy and Hope Alice Howie, they lived from May 8th, 2014 to May 27th, 2014. They were born in Sydney, Australia, to parents Simon Howie and Renee Young. Faith and Hope shared one body and a skull, but had complete duplication of facial features as well as duplication of the brain. Both brains were joined at one brainstem. Young and Howie had learned at 19 weeks gestation of their children's condition, but they opted not to terminate the pregnancy. The children were born 6 weeks premature, and they appeared to be doing well. They were able to breathe unaided several days after their birth, and they were observed to sleep and cry at different times, which I think this is the reason why I find this so fascinating, that there's two people trapped in one body, you know? Like, you don't get a say in, like, "I want to sleep now." It's like, "No, we're not going to sleep now, because I'm going to stay awake, and I'm going to scream, or I'm going to yell, or do whatever." So I don't know. I just find it, rather fascinating, that those kinds of things happen.
I don't know how I would deal with it.
Right? Punch. I don't know how, like, hitting, you're like literally hitting yourself in the head. So Faith and Hope, unfortunately, they died 19 days following their birth due to unknown causes. Although some, sources indicated that the girls died following an operation for unknown reasons. So they don't even know what that operation was for. A few two-faced animals have survived due to associated internal organ abnormalities and brain abnormalities. One of the most famous is Ditto, a pig. Ditto was raised to adulthood and died of pneumonia caused by food inhalation when breathing through one muzzle while eating with the other. Unfortunately, there's no way to control that. So, but that farmer had a real sense of humor to call him Ditto, because he had double features. And it was like, so he had one set of features, and it was like, Ditto on the other side. Cats with the condition are known as Janus cats, after the Roman god. In July 2006, a 6-year-old male Janus cat called Frank and Louie from Millbury, Massachusetts, received publicity. I love that it's, you can say Frank and Louie, or Frank and Louie. I love that. I think that's great. In their case, they only had one esophagus and possibly only one trachea was functional and aided in their survival. In September 2011, when Frank and Louie were 12 years old, it was announced that they would appear in the 2012 Guinness Book of World Records as the longest surviving Janus cat on record. In 2014, Frank and Louie died at the age of 15.
Aww.
Very cool pictures of Frank and Louie as well. It's literally, like, the craziest thing you've ever seen. You have to Google it. I didn't want to waste ink, so I didn't print everything out. I guess the question is there more on Mordrake? I've searched the internet. I've gone down all these fucking wormholes to try to find additional information, hoping to find a date of birth, a location of a childhood home, a connection to the English family that he's supposedly related to. That information just does not exist. What does exist is a massive Google list of results on Mordrake and urban legends. It does make me wonder how much of the Edward Mordrake story is true. After all, the medical anomaly, though rare, does exist. So how unrealistic is it that a man like Mordrake could survive with such a deformity to the ripe old age of 23? Because that's a long life for somebody with that sort of deformity. The fact that the placement of the demon face is impossible doesn't really lead me to believe that somebody like Mordrake has ever existed, but it doesn't rule out the fact that there are people living with this particular condition, with parasitic twins, and are living functional lives. So maybe there's a kernel of truth in there? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we often fear that which we don't understand.
Right.
So perhaps we'll never know, but I think that this legend will survive many years to come.
A lot of deformed children were kept hidden away. He could have been kept hidden away and just survived.
Yeah. Yeah. So this last little section I have here is talking about the lay sources. They keep talking about Manvers and Treadwell, his physicians. And they also talk about these lay sources that created this paper and this book. So also from Snopes.com, Golden Pyle reported in 1896 that, quote, the well-known story of Edward Mordrake, they quoted, was taken from lay sources, plural, despite the fact that there really was only one. Science historian Alex, I think it's Boese? I don't know, B-O-E-S-E. So, sorry, whoever this is. I just bastardized your name. Oh, well. has traced the quoted text verbatim to a syndicated newspaper article written in 1895 by Charles Lowton Hildreth. He's a poet and an author of speculative fiction. So, the article titled The Wonders of Modern Science, Some Half-Human Monsters Once Thought to be of the devil's brood, describes a variety of remarkable, quote, human freaks, whose cases Hildreth claims to have found in old reports of the Royal Scientific Society, the musty old pages, quote unquote, of which he tells us, are characterized by their long S's and their turgid phraseology. Among the cases, Hildreth details Fishwoman of Lincoln, a young girl whose legs from the hip downward were covered in shining scales and terminated in the most exact tails of a fish. There's a half-human, half-crab whose hands and feet were enormous. He had hard-shelled claws. The melon child of Radnor, we learn, had the head the size and color of a melon with no perceptible organs or sense except a vertical slit for a mouth. Mr. Punis of Stratton had feet where his hands should be, and vice versa. The four-eyed man of Cricklade had two sets of eyes, one above the other. Jackass Johnny was cursed with a pair of enormously long furry ears, exactly like those of an ass. The Norfolk spider was a monstrous thing that crawled on its belly with six hairy jointed legs and claws on a human head.
Ew.
Now, what all these wonders of science had in common, Boise points out, is that no mention of them is found in any previous source. None. It appears, in other words, that Hildreth simply made them up. Albeit couched as nonfiction, the article was actually a work of speculative fiction in the spirit of other scientific hoaxes at the time, such as the infamous Life on the Moon hoax of 1835 and the Cardiff Giant hoax of 1869. So, Boise concludes, convincingly, we find that Edward Mordrake was a literary creation of Charles Lowton Hildreth. He never really existed.
Oh.
So, yeah, the next time you happen to see that pop up on Facebook, now you know that it's fake news. You're welcome. Yeah, so that's Edward Mordrake. Something that I've really wanted to cover for a long time because, you know, I mean, it's been out there for so long and it's just, it keeps circulating. Like, I'm seeing it again now, which is why I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it for the next episode of Wanteds because I'm literally seeing it twice a day now. So right. I just need to do it and get it done. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, those stories are common, and it's not that these people didn't exist. It's just that they've kind of been turned into these incredible monsters.
Right.
And I mean, there was a sideshow performer. He was in Freaks. I believe they called him Prince Randian. He was otherwise known as the Human Torso. And he was literally just a head and a torso.
Oh, yeah.
And in Freaks, they have that.
Bound.
Yeah. In Freaks, they have that entire scene where he lights a cigarette. And they show him, like, using his chin and using his nose to maneuver this matchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally getting the match out and striking it on the side and lighting a cigarette. And it's just one of the most amazing things that you could ever see. If you guys have never seen the movie Freaks, you absolutely need to see it because it is fantastic.
I saw it once. I was very young, though.
Yeah.
So that wasn't so good.
It's a cautionary tale, essentially, because these people are so different. And then there's this one lady who comes in who is, you know, this blonde, like, kind of bombshell. And she pretends to fall in love with one of the people there. And it's like, you know, it's all this farce, you know, to try to get his money or whatever. Mm. And they find her out. And at the end, there's actually some very frightening scenes of them, like, I forget at the end if they kill her or if they try to kill her. Or if they just scare her.
I remember a fire.
I feel like they kill her.
I don't know, but I remember a fire. And I remember them running away from a fire.
Oh. I remember a carriage.
It was years ago.
And the human torso under the carriage.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I gotta say, it was one of the better movies that I've watched.
Well, it was 19... are we talking about the same one? 19,
it's black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was made in like 1920s or 30s.
Something like that, yeah. And it was banned in a lot of places. They wouldn't show it because they didn't think that the viewing public was ready to see that kind of deformity. And it's funny because sideshows actually still exist today. Mm-hmm. There aren't many of them, but for example, the Venice Beach sideshow. That one, I think they lost their lease on the location that they had, but I think they're running somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's absolutely one of those things that, like, you can still go see it. It's it's totally still a thing. The shows are a little bit different, but I mean, you might meet a bearded lady. You might meet the world's smallest human being. There was one guy, that show was called, they did a show about the Venice Beach sideshow and like how
and
they put the show
one
together.
One of the guys did the needle stuff.
Yep. Morg, I think his name is. He does like a lot of really crazy,
And she was learning, the daughter was learning how to.
Oh, sword swallowing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, I mean, there are shows out there about it. I think really the key is to try and desensitize yourself to it because, you know, regardless of how somebody looks, that person is still a person.
Right.
And they should be treated with respect. And I personally have the highest respect for people who are not quote unquote normal, you know, and what the hell is that anyway?
Right.
You know, what is normal? There's really no such thing. I mean, I'm not normal.
Right.
And I am happy to not be normal because I wouldn't be me if I were whatever, you know, this box.
Right.
If I fit into every category. So, do we have anything else?
Nope.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else. So, along with this summer hiatus, there will be a pause on blog posts for some time. I will try to keep the Twitter feed updated and keep posting some cool, interesting stuff on Facebook. So yeah, we'll try to still keep you entertained even while we're gone. All right, so I think we're good for this week. Are you having some sort of fit over there?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Just a little overtired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good show, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think that once we return from hiatus, I think there's only like 5 episodes left in the season.
Okay.
Because they usually try to do 20. And I think that this one will be... I feel like this one is 14? So maybe there's 6.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that is it this time around. Everybody enjoy the summer months. Get outside. Yes. Get some sun.
Definitely get outside.
Go on some road trips. See some spooky shit. hunt some ghosts. And
tell us your stories.
Yeah, send us your stories. You can also send us your stories on Reddit. We are on Reddit as Hauntheads Podcast. I've gotten a few submissions, 5 or 6 already. So when we come back in September, I'll share some of those. But yeah, you know, send them our way. Hauntheadscast@gmail.com is where you can send those stories if you'd like to. If you want to binge listen to past episodes of the podcast, they are all available on hauntheads.podbean.com or wherever you decide to binge listen your podcasts. So until next time, I am Janine Mercer signing off.
And I am Mimi Steven. Peace out.
Peace out. And as always, stay spooky. And have a safe summer and wear sunscreen.
Oh, yeah.
St. James and